Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. Today's edition is with Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath, and it's about clarifying your life. And she's on the line. I'm going to bring her up. Before I do that, I just want to remind everyone that tomorrow at 11 November the 24th, at 7 p.m. Central Time will be our Y4C Youth for Christ show. So let's bring up Associate Pastor. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
That is wonderful. You know,
I'm always so excited when we have our show.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And just curious to know what it is all about clarifying your life. I'm going to turn the floor over to you and let you go.
Well, you know, of course, that God always speaks to me up to the last very moment when I'm about to get on with you. So I'm going to try very hard to not get too excited. I'm going to try to kind of just walk through it a little bit and take my time. I can't promise you anything, but at least I'm going to try.
Right, right.
So clarifying your life. You know, clarity is an amazing, amazing thing. You know, when you have clarity, that makes or breaks everything and how you move forward, how you see everything, how empowered you are or are not, how much confidence you have or don't. And one
right.
of the things that I want to talk about today, the way I'm going to set this up is we're going to talk about first, what happens when you don't have clarity? And the reason why is because there are many people in the world that believe that they are walking in clarity and they are not. They're actually
wow.
in a fog. And so I'm going to explain the difference between the fog and darkness. There is a very big difference between the two.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about where most of us live. And then we're going to talk about clarity. Because by
okay.
the time we get there, I believe that you'll understand why already clarity is so very important. So
okay.
with that, I want to at least start off with a definition of clarity. And when you look that up in a dictionary, clarity simply means clearness or lucidity as to perception or understanding. I would
mm-hmm.
also say that it has to do with transparency, about not being vague or ambiguous. So there are,
okay.
you know that you have clarity with regard to your name. You know what your name is. And if somebody tries to tell you that your name is Joyce, you know that your name is not
yes.
Joyce. So I want
yes.
people to take that into consideration. Everyone knows their name. And
right.
the kind of confidence you have about your name is the kind of confidence that God wants you to have in him.
Amen.
Okay? The kind of confidence where no matter who it is that comes to you and tells you that this is not your name,
mm-hmm.
you will get to the point where you're not even going to, you just won't even argue with them. You're not even going to entertain
Listen.
The concept. You're just going to let them be stuck in their own foolishness. You might even say to them, okay, well then fine, my name is Joyce, and just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
and
understand that their truth, whatever that truth might be, is of no consequence to you. Your reality, your faith is in the fact that you know your name better than they do.
Exactly.
And that is what God wants us to have. He wants us to
yeah.
have a relationship with him where we are so 100% dead on sure that
mm-hmm.
we have no need to even entertain the enemy when he comes up against us with a vague
yeah.
truth. Because we understand
no.
the enemy doesn't come to you with the opposite of what God says. He comes to you
no.
with something similar
mm-hmm.
so that
mm-hmm.
it sounds like, looks like, feels like God, but it's
yes.
not. And so God wants you to understand it is not necessary for you to even entertain the enemy. You know, your name is Angela.
Yes.
And if I said to you, no, your name is not Angela, it's Angelina.
No.
Now, it sounds similar,
uh-huh.
but it's still not your name. It might be a form of your name.
Yeah.
But it's
just
still
as
not
nice.
Your name. And that is exactly how the enemy comes to us. He comes to us with something that sounds like, looks like, feels like, tastes like God, smells like God, seems like God. But it's not God. It's the enemy. So this is the reason why clarity is very important. Now, I want to start off by saying all of us, and when I say us, I'm talking to Christians here. We all suffer from a form of visual impairment. It's a visual impairment of the spirit.
Wow.
All of us have it. That visual impairment includes anything that we are not completely sold out on yet. Simple as that. You know?
It's simple.
Anything that we are not sold out on yet with regard to God, that is where we're suffering a visual impairment. Okay? Now, when a person is in darkness, the only thing you need to do to get out of darkness is turn a light on. The two are polar opposites. They cannot coexist with one another.
Right.
You can't be sick and healed. You can't have faith and fear. You can't have love and hate. One of them is going to exist on top of the other.
Yes.
And whichever one exists on top of the other is the one that we're putting our faith in and our belief in at that moment, and that's the one that we're acting on.
We respond to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? So darkness, that right there is something that I don't think a lot of Christians don't have a whole lot of difficulty with darkness, because we know that once the light is shined upon it, it's just going to go away.
Right.
Okay? And the light can come in many different ways, whether it comes from the inside, from the spirit within, because of something that you've learned, and maybe eventually somebody says something that turns on that light switch, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't have to deal with this. Wait a minute, that's not true. Wait a minute, I'm not really that. You know, and so you start lining up your behavior and your belief system according to what you know to be true. So it might even come by someone coming and just speaking a word. It might come because you gain some knowledge, whether it's from reading a Bible, a book, listening to a sermon, going to church, Bible study, whatever it is. It could be through a song of praise. It could be through anything. God uses all kinds of things in the world, you know, symbols, examples, where you suddenly, that light is just switched on, right?
Yes.
And you move from being in darkness to light.
Right.
Here is where we have a challenge. Have you ever been in a fog?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fog exists in a day and a night.
Mm-hmm.
And fog may make things a little bit dim. But when you turn a light on and there's fog, it's still fog.
Yes.
So, I recall years back when I was in my 20s, I was with a friend and we were driving to Florida. And we were in the very early morning hours, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning or so. And we were driving through like Mississippi, Alabama, something like that. I just know I wasn't happy because it was foggy. And I have never driven through those south parts at all. And it was so foggy that sitting in the car with your headlamps on high, your high beams on, you still couldn't see anything in front of you except for fog. And you couldn't see the car lights, the brake lights of the car in front of you until you were just about already on it. So everyone was creeping, and I'm talking like maybe 5 miles an hour, because the fog was that thick. I mean, if you can imagine fog that thick, that you have your high beams on and you still can't see anything until it's right there in front of your car.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's pretty thick fog. Fog can be so thick and so heavy, you think you could actually grab it with your hands.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I'd actually live in a high rise and by the lake and left the balcony door open and my living room literally filled with fog.
Wow.
And when I turned the light on, it was like this is not going anywhere. You know, it's,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The light, it doesn't matter. When you're in a fog,
it does not matter. I'm glad that you brought up the whole high-rise building, because I used to manage a condominium here in Philadelphia in the Two Liberty Building. And the condominium started on the condominium complex started on the 37th floor, and it went all the way up to the 57th floor. And listen, when there were foggy days, we couldn't see anything. Whereas when there was no fog, we could see clear over to Jersey and sometimes as far as Atlantic City because it was so clear. But on a day when it was foggy, we couldn't even see across the street. And when you're in a high rise and you have fog all around you, it could be a little bit concerning that you can't see anything at all outside your window. Like you can't see anything. You know, I want people to really get the idea of being in fog. I don't know if there's anyone listening that has never experienced fog before. But if you have, I want you to think about that. Think about when you have experienced a really dense, thick fog. If you have never experienced fog before, I want you to think about the very early morning hours when the dew is on the grass. You know, that steam that some people might see is what we would see as fog in midair. Okay, fog.
Perfect definition.
Like I said, it could be in the daylight, and you still can't see. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take this into the spiritual realm, all right? Because when we talk about turning on the light, we're talking about shining the truth of God onto something and that it causes the darkness to disappear. What happens when you shine the truth of God on something and you're still dim? This is important because a lot of people believe that because you tell someone the truth of God that automatically that light switch turns. But that's not true. That's why God teaches precept by precept. And that's why Paul talked about how one person waters and the other person does this and the other person does this. It takes a little bit sometimes for people to move into the truth. So for some people, they might hear the truth, see the truth, experience the truth, and yet they're still in a fog. All right? I'm going to turn this around the other way. Let's say you have... I was watching Dr. Phil the other day, and there was a woman on. She was the grandmother of these three young women, and the three young women all said that they were molested by the grandfather. And that the grandmother was aware. And turns out that there were also other people outside of the family that were molested by this grandfather. And he actually had a court date, was found guilty, and sent to jail. And when they began to talk about the compelling evidence, it was clear that this man had done these things. And even with all of that truth, the grandmother sits there in denial. Another episode of a person being in a fog, again, it was with Dr. Phil, and it was a woman who was probably in her 60s who was dating someone via the internet online, as many people do. But this woman started sending this man all kinds of money, and he was telling her all kinds of stories, and he was over in Africa and just telling her all of these stories about what he needed and blah, blah, blah. I mean, she bought him and that he was, you know, creating a life for them over in Africa. And, you know, she bought him sports cards. She sent him over $50,000 in cash.
Wow.
I mean, the sports cards totaled several, like probably a couple hundred thousand dollars and all that kind of stuff. Sent her a picture of him, all of this stuff. And you know, Dr. Phil did the investigation, found the man in the picture, and it was not, of course, him. He was someone whose identity had been compromised, and this is one of the things that people were doing with his identity. Even faced with that information and that truth, this woman did not, she was not clear that the person that she was involved with was a fraud and had taken her money.
Wow.
That's a fog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Same thing happens to us in the spirit. You're taught things over and over again, given compelling truth, but for whatever reason, be it a stronghold, be it fear, whatever it might be, you don't quite come to the truth yet. A case in point, how many people still feel that they can't receive a blessing from God if they have sinned?
Right.
Okay? And the Bible is very clear that Jesus has bore our sins. The Bible is very clear that God does not look at our sins and that God has already forgiven them. He throws them as far as the east from the west. The person has come. They have confessed 25 times about the same exact sin. They have confessed, confessed, and have not even repeated the sin. And yet, because of this sin that they committed 5 years ago, they still feel that they cannot be blessed, or maybe they can't be blessed in a certain area, or maybe they feel that they're doomed to a certain type of fate in this area because of that sin, regardless of what the word says. And they can believe that word to be true for other people, but they cannot believe it to be true for themselves.
Absolutely.
A fog is a type of visual impairment of the spirit.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
The Bible tells us that the reason why we don't have is because we don't ask, and it also says because we lack knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when you're lacking knowledge and understanding, the truth is that it is nothing more. That also means that you have a lack of faith. Because the only way that you have faith is that you have a knowledge and understanding of something to be true.
Right.
So when you don't have knowledge and understanding, you lack faith. Let me say this another way for those people who are listening and maybe you don't feel that you're in fog. There are a lot of people out there who have decided that, you know what, I know what I need to know about what I need to know.
Right.
Right? And I don't really feel the need to study.
Right.
What's that?
And I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going.
I know where I'm going. Yeah. I understand God. I understand faith. I understand this walk, and I don't really need a pastor, and I don't need a church, and I don't need to do regular Bible study and things like that because I've heard it and I know it. Even though we say you keep reading the same thing over and over again, and God keeps giving you a new revelation over and over again. Even though we say that, this person may not be experiencing that because they're limiting themselves and saying, nope, that can't be true because this is true. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That person is in a fog. They are limited in their ability to understand. They're suffering a visual impairment of the spirit, and they therefore are going to lack faith. Why? Because there's going to come a time when what they know will not support the faith they need.
Right.
Okay? I'm going to say that again. If you limit yourself in learning and understanding the word of God, you allow yourself to remain in a fog because what you know will one day no longer support the faith that you are going to need.
Mm-hmm.
The God that we serve is a God that continues to expand us, not because he's growing. He's not the one changing. We are. He's revealing more and more of himself to us. And if our prayer is going to be, Lord, keep me close to you, then you can expect that he's going to keep you growing and understanding and expanding and moving in more dimensions and deeper levels, higher levels. He's going to be doing that, and he's going to be giving you more and more understanding of his truth, because his truth is the truth, and it is the only truth that matters.
Yes,
and
it is.
And if you want to be able to overcome the enemy, and if you want to be able to stand against the devil to resist him, you're going to have to learn as much as you can, as much as possible, about the Word of God, the character of God, the truth of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the help of God, the mercy of God, and everything that goes along
Amen.
With it.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't
Amen.
Do that, you're going to be in a fog. It's as simple
yes.
as that. And there, and I'm not saying that you'll be in a fog and God is not going to help you. I'm not saying
no.
that. Okay? I'm just talking about what kind of desire do you have to be confident and feel empowered and have faith that is unshakable. See, when you have a faith that does not meet your need, your faith is going to be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to
yes,
say, what in the world is this?
Yeah.
I don't understand
yeah, I've
this.
Been there.
Right?
I've been there. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this? I don't understand this. Let me tell you about a dream mm-hmm. that I had one time. I don't know if I ever shared this with you before. But I had this dream one time. I used to always dream that, you know, when I got in trouble, I could either fly or I could be, I just turn invisible. Right?
Okay.
And I remember having this dream where, you know, Satan or whatever kind of dark entity or whatever was coming after me. And I have spiritual dreams all the time. And I call myself going into hiding. And, you know, he kept finding me everywhere I would hide, no matter how high I climbed, no matter if I tried to fly, no matter what room or door I went behind, he always found me. And so what I did was I decided, oh, wait, I could be invisible. And so I went ahead and turned myself invisible in my dream, and this entity came over to me, stood in front of me, and here I am cloaked behind this spiritual wall, right? I'm invisible,
right.
He can't see me, and it's kind of like I'm in an invisible closet. And he stuck his head inside the closet and looked dead at me, and I knew he could see me, and I felt his breath. And he just stood there, and then he walked away. And I heard the Spirit of God say, new level, new devil, new rules.
Right.
Okay? Here's the thing. When you advance to another level, another place, another dimension in God, then you are on a new playing field, and you need to learn the new rules right away. And the first thing you need to learn is, once again, who you are.
Yes.
You need to learn who you are. You need to know what position you're playing, and you need to understand your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
Because your authority operates at a different level, in a different way, with a different power, depending upon where you are. It's kind of like when, you know, you're a child and you have to pick up a bowl. Or better yet, a child, say you're 4 or 5, and you're pouring your milk for your cereal, as opposed to when you're 16 and you pour it.
Yeah, right.
Right? So as a child, you're using both your hands trying to pour your milk, and you might spill it, it's unsteady and all of that. But as a 16-year-old, you're using one hand and only a few of your fingers.
You're right, exactly.
Right? So as you grow in the Lord, you're empowered to be different and to do different things. And so God doesn't do certain things because he has already equipped you to do them. See, he wants to come in and do what you can't do. And sometimes, all right, sometimes the only way for us to know what we can do is for him to allow certain situations to come to us. Okay?
That's
Are we on
way,
the same page
yes.
so far?
We're on the same page.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
All right.
Yeah.
So now, wherever you are, that's your current truth. Okay? That is where you are. And the truth is the place where you've grown to be comfortable. And sometimes we grow to be comfortable in that truth even though we're not happy. And the reason why is because it makes sense to us. We understand it. We know it. We know how to operate in it. We know how much it can or cannot do to us. And we believe in it. We consider it to be our truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This
Yes.
The place of our truth it's also what we could call the land that we live in. Okay? It's the place that we have accepted to be our country. We can say that. All right? You following me so far?
Right, we can. I am following you.
Okay. Now, in Genesis 12, God says this. He says, get thee out of thy country and away from your kindred and away from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Apply that to the spirit and not just to the natural. All right? God is saying, listen, I know that you're comfortable in this place that I've given you, this cushy little place, but let me let you know something. I'm not going to let you, my child, to be content with living that little bit of kingdom on earth. I have a whole lot
right.
of kingdom that I want you to have. And so in order for you to have it, I need to make sure that you are uncomfortable. I'm going to pinch you and make you uncomfortable in your seat where you are. I'm going to force you to feel like, you know what, I got to stand up. I got to move around. I got to stretch out. Something is wrong here. Things are not going to feel okay. You're going to keep trying to fit there, but you're not going to fit because God is trying to get you to move. He wants you to move out of that country and away from your kindred. Your kindred are all the people that agree with the place that you're in. You know,
yes.
all those people that are sitting there in that same situation as you, some of them are newcomers, some of them that have been there a long time, some there have been there as long as you. And here's the thing, you're only going to be there until you mature. But once you've graduated in maturity, you can't be there anymore. Once you have passed the first grade, you have to go to second. Once you pass the sixth grade, you have to go to seventh. Once you pass the ninth grade, you have to go to the 10th grade. You see, some people stay back. But once you graduate, you can try to keep going into that class if you want to, and they're going to keep sending you to your new class. The same thing with God. He says, get away from all your kindred people. They might be your kin, but they're not your current kind. And you need to get around the people that are your kind. He says, get away from your father's house. Listen, you lived in your father's house for a while, but now you're an adult. You need your own house.
Right.
All right? Get away from those relatives. What relatives? Lack of faith and frustration and being uncomfortable and dilly-dallying and wasting time and procrastination and all that stuff that keeps you right where you are. Get away. They're relatives. Get away from that. I want to show you some newness. I have a new place that you're going to go to, and you're going to be so much more comfortable, so much more happy, so much more empowered. You're going to be able to do so much more. You're going to really live more of the kingdom on earth. I have more for you. That's what God is saying.
Okay. Right.
All right? Now, let's talk about clarity once again. Clarity is when you are not vague or ambiguous. Clarity is when there's a transparency. You can actually see clearly, right? Did you ever notice about fog is that when it starts to go away, it kind of begins to what we call lifting, and at the same time that it lifts, like it literally rises above you, but at the same time, it kind of dissolves.
Right. It does.
Right? It does both at the same time. It lifts and it dissolves. And it becomes kind of apparent, like opaque almost. So it goes from a place where you can't see at all to a place of opaqueness where you can kind of see a little bit through it. Here's what clarity should be for every Christian. It should be the place that we are striving to get to, because clarity is the place of God's truth. All right? It's where we're going to experience all of the things that God has for us. It is his perfect peace, his favor, his anointing, his blessings, his mercy, his grace. The things we experience now, but even more. I don't know if you've ever heard people talk about the stories about heaven and you know, like people who've had these near-death experiences and they come back and they say, I've been to heaven. And you say, and, you know, I read about this a lot because I'm fascinated because people all over the world have similar experiences and they're saying the same types of things about heaven. And one of them is when you say to them, when people say to them, can you tell me what heaven looks like? It looks like here, but more. What do you mean more? It's like, well, the colors are more vibrant and more alive. Everything is alive in heaven. What do you mean everything is more alive? Well, yellow is more yellow, and green is more green, and blue is more blue. I mean, everything is just really bright and alive, and there's no darkness at all. It's only bright, and everything lives. Wow. Right?
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that the closer to God I get, the more I'm going to live, the more light that there is going to be in me. The more the more brightness is going to be in me, the more that darkness is not going to be even come my way.
Right.
And there's not going to be any fog, any gray areas.
Mm-mm.
So I will experience kingdom on earth here on heaven, perfect peace, favor, anointing, blessing. See, God's Bible says that he blesses us so that we can be a blessing, right?
Right.
But how can we be a blessing to others if we're suffering ourselves?
Ah, very true.
Okay, yeah. So here's one thing that I want people to understand. God intends to saturate every area of your life with himself. We tend to take our life and segregate it. You know, this is my work life. This is my, you know, we segregate into roles. Okay, so I'm, you know, a boss over here, I'm an employee here, I'm a parent, I'm a child, I'm a worshiper, you know, all these different things that we are, and we separate them out. And we only allow God to apply to the areas that we think is okay and safe. But God should be applied to all areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might experience tremendous breakthrough in some areas, and then in other areas we keep being overtaken because we allow him to live in some areas, and some areas we have guards at the door saying, no, God, you can't come in here.
Right,
so we need to allow, we need to get to the place where we are allowing God to touch all areas of our life. And at the same time, in the areas where we allow God to lead, we need to allow him to continually lead us and stop thinking that we're going to sit and just keep sitting and not expanding. Because even when you sit, God's going to expand you.
Yes, he is.
Because he's going to shift, and you're going to have to follow him. Okay, so where do most of us live? Most of us live somewhere between that place that we control and the place that God actually lives. Most people live in a place of fog. You might call it straddling the fence, right?
Right.
You have one. People say, I have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we have a lot of different names for it, but the truth of the matter is that we're in fog. We're in the fog. We don't really have a lot of clarity. You know, we're living in this place where we're kind of in between, and that's not really where God wants us to be. The truth is that the Bible says to us that if we are lukewarm, that God will spit us out. He wants us to be either on fire or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Be one of the two, right?
Yes.
Because
right.
he could deal with that. But when we're in a place of being foggy, if we're in that straddle the fence place where we're making all the decisions, when we're not even allowing ourselves to have any kind of clarity at all, he can't do anything. God can't penetrate the fog. Remember I said that when you're in the fog, you can be in the fog even when you're in the light. God can't do anything with that. So he doesn't want us to live there. He'd rather us be in darkness so that he can come and break through.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't do much with the fog. The fog is that place where you feel that you're really the one in control. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That God isn't really the one that's in control. You're really the one that's in control. You're turning him on and you're turning him off. You're making all the decisions. And the other thing, the fog is the place, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm just warning you, because those of you who have certain religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs are not going to like this, but it is the truth, and I want you to hear it. The fog is the place where you exist and you say, when I do these things, God will bless me.
Mm-hmm.
The fog is the place where you say, the reason why this happened to you is because you didn't tithe, you didn't give an offering, you didn't go to church, you sinned. That is fog, because that's not true.
You're right.
It sounds true. We teach it and we learn it. But that's the human way of believing about God. And God is not a man. He doesn't believe like we believe. His ways are not our ways. He doesn't believe in the kind of justice that we are talking about. Because what happens is that we are forgetting that the price for every sin that we've committed has already been paid. We do not have the ability to pay for the sins that we have committed or the things that we've done wrong. We don't have the ability to do that. Only Jesus was able to do that. Jesus, the one who lived without sin and gave over his life for our behalf.
Amen.
So that we might be in right standing with our Father and have complete communication, open and free, being able to go boldly to the throne of grace. That is what he did for us. And so if you are trying to say, I will get what I need when I do this, that, or the other, I'm telling you, you're moving into a form of witchcraft that is not of God. It is not true. And you will live in fog, and you will not live kingdom on earth. You will wait until you die to try and experience the kingdom of God on earth, because you cannot be worthy of what Jesus has already done.
Ooh.
You simply can't.
Amen.
You have to accept it as a free gift.
Yes. Yes.
The things that we do might put us at the 50-yard line, right? The things that we do might align us to be able to receive more fully. The things that we do show God, listen, I'm mature. I'm ready. I don't have my emotions all over the place. You can trust me when you bless me. I'm not going to hurt someone with this blessing. I'm not going to hurt myself with this blessing. That shows us maturity, but it doesn't give us the right to have it.
Right, right.
See, this is what people have to understand. God is just, that stuff that we do, the stuff that we're supposed to do, that God tells us to do, those tenets of the faith, that shows God, this is the level of maturity that we are walking in right now.
Right.
We think that it entitles us to a blessing, but we cannot ever be entitled to a blessing.
No.
It's a free gift from God.
Yes. Right. Free.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. The price has been paid. It's like being in a restaurant. Leaving the money for your dinner at the table, and before you go out, you pay again at the register.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they're like, there's nothing to pay. It's been paid.
Been paid already.
Yeah.
It's like having a check. You know, you're at the restaurant with a check, and the tip is already included, and you say, well, I'm going to give them the tip. It's already included.
Yeah, exactly.
That's already
doing?
Been paid. Why are you paying it again?
So.
Right?
And
so,
I'm affirm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So I want to give you another analogy about where most of us live. And the thing that came to me was the funhouse mirror. You know how when you go to a funhouse, right?
Yeah.
And they have those mirrors that make you either really short or stretch, or you're out of shape. You're not right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You look really odd,
and
the more you move, you just look really strange. Imagine if the only kind of mirror you have ever seen in life was a funhouse mirror.
Okay. You will have such distorted illusions about yourself.
You really would. You really would. And it wouldn't be until you had another mirror to view that you would see yourself in the right light. But if you've only ever seen the funhouse mirror, it gets to a point where you get used to seeing yourself that way. And it seems like it's okay. Because
right.
everyone else in the funhouse mirror looks the same way as you. Those
what?
Are your kinfolk. Right? Those are your kinfolk. And the
right.
funhouse is your father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And the kindred are you and all those people in the funhouse mirror, because you know how we all stand in front of it and we jump up and down and we move our hands and all that kind of stuff. We move backward and forward. We're all in there
yeah.
looking at ourselves, looking all crazy in the funhouse mirror. And we think that it's okay. And God says, listen, you are too old to be playing in that funhouse mirror. I got some
yes.
other stuff for
yes.
you. And I need you
to
get
do.
Your act together and turn
mm-hmm.
around and look in this other mirror.
Right.
And walk on in this other direction and keep on moving and get out of your father's house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is what I want people to understand. God's truth and clarity go hand in hand.
Amen.
You know, I always tell people that when, you know, when there is a story to be told, there's your truth, that's the other person's truth, and all the people involved, everybody has a truth in that. And then
right.
in the midst of that is God's truth, and God's truth is the one that has seen all of it and tells it the way it really is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that your view of things is wrong. It's just not as clear.
Right.
Again, if you use that whole picture of the fog lifting and dissipating at the same time, and you start to have some clarity, you begin to see some things a little bit differently than you would have if you were still in that fog. But even with that, God's truth is the whole truth of the whole story. And when you start dealing with God's truth, you're talking about real foundational stuff here. You're talking about cement blocks for your legs so that you have
yes.
firm foundation. All right, and then you have clarity. And when you have clarity about what God is really saying, about what God is really doing, about what God is really trying to do, when you take what you think you know and you compare it to the truth of what God says, it changes your whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that kind of truth, you have a whole different level of faith. You have the level of faith that says, my name is Angela, not
yes.
Angelina. You
yes.
have a whole different level of faith. And it is a faith that cannot be broken. And it shouldn't be broken because it is the truth of God.
Right.
This is the place
Absolutely.
That God is trying to get us to in every area of our life. He is trying to get us to see our truth, so that we can see his truth in comparison. Because when you compare his truth of a situation over our truth, his is always better. And
yeah.
we are always going to gravitate to what's better, even if it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
If we know that it's from God and we see that it's better, we're going to go there. We might have
mm-hmm.
to crawl. We might have to drag ourselves. We might have
yes.
to tiptoe. You know, like we might have to have somebody drag us and throw us and kick us through the door. But we're going.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to get
say.
There. We're going
yes.
for that touchdown, for the home run, for that last
yeah.
basket, you know, when you have just
yeah.
1 second left and the
right.
basket to go in the basketball tournament. We're going for it, and that's what it is. That's God's truth. You can't beat God's truth, and his truth is clear. God's
yes.
truth is not going to be clouded with anything. Here's one more thing I want to share with people. When you read the story of the Bible, and you read the story of Jesus being crucified, and you read all about how, you know, the different things that they did to fulfill scripture. You know, he said, I thirst. He, you know, he was stabbed in the ribs and the blood and the water and all of that stuff. And all of that
yes.
happened because it had to fulfill scripture about what was going to happen to the Christ when he came. But if
mm-hmm.
you look in Mark 15:38 or you look into Luke 23:45, it will tell you that the moment that Jesus said, it is finished, and he hung his head, and it says, and he gave up the ghost. It says also that the veil in the temple was rent in two. Okay.
Right.
Now, for those people who do not understand, there was a veil in the temple that separated, I want to say this in a way that will make sense to people. Okay, so let's say behind the veil is where God existed. And only certain people were allowed to go behind that veil.
Right.
Okay. And it was only once a year when a priest would go into that place to God. And he would go in there. He would have bells attached to him. He would be ringing the bells constantly, because if he wasn't right, he died, literally.
Right.
So as long as that bell was ringing, they knew that the priest was still alive and that he was doing what he needed to do behind that veil on behalf of the people. Okay?
Right.
He was interceding for the people to God, asking for forgiveness and blessings and all this kind of stuff. But when Jesus came and he went through all he went through, and he became, as we call, the sacrificial lamb, he was what was the atonement for us. He paid our bill for us, for God. And when he said, it is finished, I've done it, it's done, it's over, that veil ripped, literally ripped, because now we have the right to go boldly to the throne of grace on our own. We no longer need someone else, an intercessor, someone to go on our behalf before us. And we no longer have to be shrouded by a veil. We have a right to complete 100% clear communication with God.
Right.
We have a right to know the full truth without being veiled, without seeing anything unclearly, without seeing anything in any kind of fog-like substance, without being caught up in any kind of darkness. We have a right to know the truth and to go boldly. And boldly is like the way your children come to you, you know, especially when they're young, and like 2 and 3, they just come running.
Mommy,
yes, they just come running. And that's how God moves. It's kind of like for people who are dog owners, when you, you know, leave the house. You can leave the house for 5 seconds and come back in, and your dog comes running like you were gone for 3 years. You know? They just come barreling at you. They just come running.
Yeah.
That's how God says, this is how you can come to me now, because of what Jesus did. You have a right to all the truth. You can know as much as you know. If you ask and seek and knock, I'm there. I'm going to answer you. I'm going to be here for you. You're not going to have to find me. And I'm going to open every door that you need to be opened. I'm going to give you the truth so that you can walk freely, so that you can know your next steps, so you can be elevated, so that you can have favor, not just with me, but with man. And I'm going to give things to you in a way that is permanent, because I don't give the way the world gives. They give and they take away. I only give. I'm only a blessing.
Right.
I'm only going to add to you and never take away from you. This is why clarity is so important. And it's important to have clarity in every area of your life, because the amount of clarity that you're able to walk in is the amount of success that you can have as a person, as an individual, as you're living your life. The amount of clarity that you have determines everything about your life. Everything.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
everything.
Does.
It determines whether or not you're going to hook up with the right people. It determines whether you're going to get involved in the right activity. It determines everything about your life. Clarity is so very important. It determines not only what you're going to do, but the manner in which you do it. Look, a lot of people say, go ahead and do it, but do it afraid. But let me tell you something. You can do it afraid, and you can still succeed. But, man, when you do it with confidence, it's a whole different thing. When you do something with confidence, you can actually get the people around you to believe you.
Yes.
But when you do it afraid, they're watching to see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
When you do it with confidence,
see how this turns
people
out.
Decide,
yeah.
Listen, when you do something with confidence, people rally around you. And all those people who have been gifted to help you to get to where you're going, they suddenly have no problem say, hey, I can do this for you. Hey, I can do that for you. Hey, let me lighten the load. Let me take this off. And they can do it 10 times better than what you could ever dream of doing it. But when you do things afraid, they're there and they're watching, but they're saying, I'm not going to offer myself yet because I don't really know where this is going to go. I'm not going to offer myself yet because this person isn't quite convinced of what they're doing themselves. I don't want to be led by somebody who's unsure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who wants to be led by... it is important. Wow.
Clarity is important.
You try to look. This is how you know it's the truth of God. You can't add anything to it. I was sitting here trying to say, okay, clarity is important. Now you're going to say, and it's like there's nothing to be added. It's the truth of God. Clarity is important. He needs you to know who you are, who you belong to, and be bold about it. You know?
Yes.
And be bold about it.
Yes.
Amen.
Here is the last thing that I want to say about clarity. You know, in the story of Abraham, you know, throughout the Bible, but in the story of Abraham, you know, God did many things. But one of the things that he did is that when Abraham got to a particular place in his maturity level with God, he changed his name and he changed his wife's name, right? He's like, listen,
right,
this is who you were, but I want you to see who I made you to be. He did the same thing with Paul. This is who you were, but I want you to see who I really made you to be. If you look in the Bible, he did it over and over again. Look, this is who you were, but this is who I've made you to be. And God is saying to all of us, I want you to know your name. You were given a name by your earthly parents, but I have a name too, a name that shows people your true identity, a name that lines up with what I created for you to be. I'm not talking about just a title to be bestowed upon you. I'm talking about a true identity, a true name. He has a name for all of us. And the question is, do you want to know your name? Do you know, do you want to know what you were really called here to do? Do you want to know, do you want to live not on purpose, but in your purpose?
Yes.
Do you want to live in your purpose? Because I'm telling you, in your purpose, there is nothing more powerful, nothing more freeing than living in your purpose. When you live in your purpose, everything has to go your way. Because it was what God intended. When you live in your purpose, you're not afraid of anything. Your confidence level is different. When you live in your purpose, you are empowered differently. You pray differently. Things roll off your back. You're not as touchy as you used to be. Things can't just come up against you and knock you out. They can't even get to your doorway. When you live in your purpose, you are a totally different person. Ask any person that is called to ministry. They are different people when they're standing up and delivering God's word than they are when they're just hanging out with their friends. It's a different function. And God says, there is stuff about you that you do not yet know, that you have not yet conceived. And I'm trying to get you to that truth. I have another name for you. I have something more for you. And I want to give you your name of victory. And that's what I call it. I call it a name of victory. God
like
wants
that.
To give you your name of victory. But you can only do it if you're willing to walk in clarity.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Woo!
I know, right? I know. I feel the same way. I needed a minute.
I needed a minute.
You know, but God is just so awesome. You know, he really is. He's just so, oh my God, I can't explain to people how awesome I feel about who God is and how much He loves us.
Yes. He loves
And how
us.
well He means by us.
Yes. You know, on the my last show, I talked about how Jesus prayed for the believers.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing to have is that Jesus has already prayed for us.
Yes.
You know, and that helps with your clarity also, because then you know exactly what where you stand with the Lord. We already know where we stand with Him.
Yes.
And so,
I mean
get to
His
live.
Whole life, you know, was about us.
Us. Yoo-hoo.
I mean, wow. His
it
whole
was just
life.
For us. It was just for us. You know, just for us. And Christ wants us to feel the love that God had for Him.
Yes.
Wow. I want to feel that kind of love.
Yes.
I really do. Yeah. And so, clarity, everyone. Let's start being clear on what God is saying to us. This was you were on fire again.
Oh, God.
Wonderful word.
It's all God. You know
wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. It's all God. Wonderful word. And I'm so glad that we were able to present this. If you have any questions or comments, definitely email khorvac@journeyhomeministries.org. And if you can't get it that way, you can always go to the website. And all the information is there, www.journeyhomeministries.org. And also we have plenty of resources while you're there. Thank you, my sister, for
it's
that wonderful word. It's been a pleasure. And now we're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here with How Great Thou Art by Society Hill Music. Peace and blessings. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I will see you next month.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.